You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And thank you for listening. Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. You could be a big part, 855-752-4842. Got Jess P.S. working on the board. Got a big show for you today. Nick Ramos, the executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, is going to join us at 5 o'clock. That fine liberal organization, as the newspaper states, has filed an ethics complaint against Judge Brad Schimmel for his buying of the knee pads and begging of the money. We're going to talk to Nick at 5. But right now it's Tuesday. It's 4 o'clock. That means it's overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, broadcasting right here statewide on the Civic Media Radio Network from 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie, welcome back.
Hey, Dom. Great to be here with you.
It is wonderful to be with you. Lots of things to get to, but I know you've been kind of railing on Schimmel. We do have an election coming up. Can you believe it? Early voting has now started.
It has.
Oh, my goodness. February 18th, the primary. April 1st is the general. So we're going to talk about Nick with Nick later on, but I want to get your sense of this campaign so far. In the last couple of weeks, go to my memory banks here. I've heard about Bloody Revolution and buying knee pads from Menards.
Oh, don't forget prejudging, critical case about people's rights.
A little detail on that one, please, because it doesn't quite come out to mind. So what happened on that one again?
Yeah, Brad Schimmel back last July at two different meet and greets with county Republican parties. Did opine and said, one, that the 1849 law criminalizing abortion, which it doesn't, it criminalizes infanticide,
which is different,
which is completely different, is of course a valid law, as if judges and courts haven't found other validly enacted laws to be constitutionally infirm. That's the end of the discussion.
But this is something that could come before him.
There are cases pending. So he already opined on that. And then he went further.
Opined or prejudged?
Prejudged. Okay. Giving his opinion, saying how he would rule as a Supreme Court justice last July.
It sounds worse when you say prejudged.
Prejudged. I'll take the language check from my friend Dom. Said not only was the 1849 law valid, which he simply ascribed to the fact that it was passed by a legislature and signed by a governor, which again does not ever end a constitutional inquiry. And secondly, said that the Wisconsin state constitution does not protect reproductive freedoms. He is and did already prejudging a case that will be before him as a justice if he is elected. That is against the rules. The guy that's supposed to be about enforcing the rules, breaking them, that is his prejudgment of matters that will be before him as a Supreme Court justice if he is elected. Major, major no-no. Of course, also endorsing the January 6th pardons.
Oh, he got himself endorsed by Michael Gableman. He's thrown his hefty weight behind Brad Schimmel.
Yeah, so the pardon endorsement, which if you are a person that has worked in law enforcement and at any level ever in your entire life, I cannot understand how you could support Brad Schimmel because of his support for the J6 pardons. It's an absolute anathema. It is against and contrary to the rule of law. And then last but not least, the knee pads and the Schimmel the shill, hat in hand. Oh, also a major ethics violation. There are clear rules that as a judge and judicial candidate, and certainly a candidate for this state's Supreme Court, you can't be soliciting donations because, you know, it looks like, what's the phrase here? pay to play.
Okay.
Shilling that's... Schimmel. We should all get t-shirts. Schimmel the Shill.
Schimmel the Shill. Begging for the money. Folks, that's Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, doing a little overtime with me. So, yeah, I mean, those are bad. Now, we, as mentioned, Nick Ramos and the fine folks over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign has filed an ethics complaint with regards to the knee pads and begging for the money from for the Brad Schimmel has admitted to and is on tape doing. Has there been any filing on ethics complaint with regard to the prejudging of the abortion
Not that
case?
I'm aware of, okay. Though I would be asking Nick, where is the ethics complaint yeah. on that
Let's
if he were on
up.
My show?
Let's
yes.
just change a few words around and refile that
and
one.
Just amend and add.
Dot two.
Yes, version two.
All right, thank you for that, and we'll continue the conversation with regards to Mr. Schimmel. He's just a terrible candidate, man. I'm not a fan on multiple levels, and seeing how he's so far running this campaign. Real quick, before we move on to the Wisconsin GOP legislature and their efforts to, you know, perform federal duties in the state and require that for, you know, sheriffs in Milwaukee and Dane County. The bloody revolution comments that he's made, complaining and lamenting that, you know, socialism this and socialism that. I point out, well, he's been working for, you know, being paid by the Wisconsin taxpayers forever. But besides that, that kind of banter, that terminology, that conversation, even bringing up a bloody civil war, and this is a guy that wants to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
It's disgusting. And the language is so partisan. We understand that we are living in an incredibly politicized time. It should be okay to say about our judicial candidates and certainly our candidates for the state Supreme Court that we're at least going to ask you to behave as if it's not just rank political BS every day of the week. That should at least be a standard. I think we can also say that the the lowest possible hurdle for a candidate to clear is not invoking, quote, bloody revolution. I thought that's what we fought one of those. We fought a civil war. Yeah. I think the way that we're supposed to resolve our political disagreements is through a peaceful democratic process. Brad Schimmel doesn't believe in that fundamental tenet of American democracy, and that is we resolve our differences at the ballot box, not by armed revolution. That is not acceptable.
Kind of goes against the whole law and order thing if there's
sure
literally
does.
An armed revolution.
Yeah, weird that.
But again, the same guy who endorses and supports the pardoning of the J6ers.
Correct.
So, I mean, that kind of tells you everything. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salve Show. That's Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Okay, Wisconsin GOP, they're busy today. Introduced a new proposed law today. Under their proposed law, according to the Cap Times, counties like Milwaukee County, Dane County, would need to start asking those booked into jail for felonies if they have documentation proving they are a U.S. citizen, such as a passport or driver's license. If an inmate cannot come up with those documents, sheriff's departments would need to tell the federal government. Now, here's
if you don't happen to have, first of all, a driver's license isn't necessarily evidence of citizenship.
Correct.
I don't walk around with my passport just for like kicking it with my friend Dom at the local watering hole. Because, you know, you don't want to lose those. It's a big pain to get them, especially yes. when someone guts the State Department. But I've digressed. Like, that's stupid. Mm. That's not a per se, does not provide what us lawyers in Latin would call prima facie evidence that you're not a citizen. Because you don't have your passport or a driver's license on you, you're going to be reported to the feds.
Show us your paperwork. I think I've seen that movie.
Papers. Show me your papers.
Show me your papers. Mm. The Cap Times goes on. Maggie Dawn, if the county refuses to comply, it would lose 15% of its state aid called shared revenue in 2025. That would come out to a loss of $1.36 million for Dane County. The law would apply only to county governments, not local agencies like the Madison Police Department. I think yesterday the reporting in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel gave that Milwaukee number of over $8 million.
Yes.
That would be what?
It's a huge
defunded
chunk.
Defunded by the GOP.
Yeah, defunding your local law enforcement. I can speak specifically about the challenges that are posed for sheriff's departments across the state, not just in your largest counties, not just in Milwaukee County. Almost every sheriff's department across the state is facing budgetary challenges. This particular requirement is both constitutionally unfirm. It violates, you know, things like federalism and states' rights. There's a whole gamut of 10th Amendment problems with it. Again, there's no a priori or prima facie reason to presume that someone's not a citizen because they don't have a passport on them. That's stupid. They know that. But besides that, even if you are very aggressive about immigration enforcement, what I would humbly suggest to you is that your local sheriff's departments and your local county government would have a devil of a time complying with this without incurring major costs, potential litigation, and civil rights costs. The GOP in the state of Wisconsin knows this because they slipped into the bill that they're going to, quote, indemnify or effectively create immunity for local governments participating in that. But the last time I checked, the Wisconsin state legislature can't like wipe out portions of the U.S. Constitution. Right. It's a little tricky. And they also include this because they know, A, there are constitutional problems. So they put in this line about immunity, which won't work. And secondly, they know that this will be very costly. So compliance with the law, if it were even signed into law, would be very costly for communities because the longer you keep someone in a local jail, it costs upwards of $1,000 a day to keep someone incarcerated. The numbers vary from county to county, but it is damnedly expensive. They put in a little line like, oh yeah, go ask the feds for reimbursement.
Yeah, good luck with that.
This has happened before under Trump 1, and they declined to, in the federal government under the first Trump administration, declined to actually provide federal indemnity. So to actually, oh, you get sued and you lose, we'll compensate your local jurisdiction. They declined to do that.
Right.
And the federal government isn't going to pay local governments more money for doing this. It's the very problem. They're taking law enforcement resources out of your community. They are depriving your local law enforcement, the space in your jail for really serious criminals that need to be locked up pending trial because they're denied bail, right? Or they're denied pretrial release under a variety of circumstances. They're making all of that more expensive for you, the taxpayer. So even if you have a very pro-immigration enforcement mentality, you don't need to even argue about that. Do you think the feds should be dipping their hand into your local taxpayer pocket?
No, that's exactly the point. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. And there's the opportunity cost. What are those sheriffs not doing, as you mentioned, if they're doing these other things and not being reimbursed by the federal government, as shown by the history of the first Trump administration, and increasing their risk to get sued because you know they're going to. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvi Show. That's Maggie Dawn. It's Overtime with Maggie Dawn. You can join us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
And welcome back to the Dominic Salvia Show, Overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, getting a double dose today. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Check her show out, 2 to 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network at JSPS. Working hard on the board, 855-752-4842. Get your callers lined up, queued up. A couple of the texters out there. Jim from Brookfield has a question for Maggie. Should Judge Crawford's campaign run an ad informing voters that Brad Schimmel's judicial experience is from a job that he did not even apply for? He was handed the job.
Yeah, you're referring to his appointment as a Waukesha County Circuit Court judge. Listen, a lot of judges get their seats that way. It is very common on both the Democratic and Republican side. I don't think that's the Shill's greatest weakness. I think his record as attorney general, the fact that he only tested 9 of 6,000-7,000 rape kits and then lied about it. I think the shilling that Schimmel has done, I think the prejudging of cases. I'd be running an ad on the rape kits standing alone with the sound of him lying about it. I'd be running an ad on the 10,000 plus taxpayer dollars he spent on honor coins when he was an attorney general that had an acronym that stood for KAED, kicking butt all day, but using a different word. How stupid, right? I would be running an ad that literally has the quote from the attorney and judge rules of ethics that state you cannot prejudge cases and the sound of him prejudging a case, that says you cannot solicit funds and donations to your campaign with the sound of him admitting doing exactly the same. He has liabilities that are much greater than how he got his judgeship that he currently holds. But yeah, I think there should be attack ads. Frankly, I think they should be paid for by someone other
than Crawford.
Some
of those dark money groups.
Yeah,
let's rip on the guy for getting handed.
Aggressive. Be aggressive.
We're aggressive here, making the rape kits. I noticed, and I remember the story when he was attorney general. This was a story, and in one of Schimmel's first kind of round of ads, besides him, you know, slow walking, the slow motion walk with the cops, you know, besides that, he mentioned like 4,500 rape kits. Like, he threw it out there trying to get ahead of knowing that this is going to be an attack and justified attack against his when he was attorney general of the state of Wisconsin.
The facts are the facts. You didn't get the rape kits done. Period. Full stop. If it was, you know, of 6,000 plus rape kits, you only tested whatever it was, you left thousands of rape kits untested. That is justice gone unserved and unmet by the highest law enforcement officer in the state. Shame on you, Schimmel. Shameful the shill Schimmel. I mean, it's bad. I don't know how this guy thinks he's qualified. I've also seen him in action as both a lawyer and a judge. And I'll just say this. I would rather vote for a conservative jurist who is whip damn smart, who has checked his partisan personal political beliefs at the door, who might not align with me ideologically on all things, but that is a damn fine lawyer with strong ethics and morality, who knows that their job is to be objective. That conservative jurist would get a vote for me before I'd vote for Schimmel. He can't do the intellectual weight of the work required of a Supreme Court justice. I know, because I've watched him lawyer stuff. I've watched him judge stuff. Why do you think this is not a smart guy that says this stuff with the tape rolling, right? Like, how about you're just not a big dummy and say stupid things on the campaign trail that violate very clear ethical rules for judges and lawyers? How about that as just a baseline standard? He's not even smart enough to avoid that. You're going to trust him with constitutional interpretation of how to remediate PFAS, of deciding your rights. Forget reproductive rights if that ain't your bag. I don't want somebody who's not qualified to tie my shoes as a lawyer deciding the law of this state. Full stop. I'd rather vote for a conservative jurist that's got the chops to do the work and the ethics to stand behind his work than a guy like Brad Schimmel.
That's Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. A little overtime with Maggie Dawn here on the Dom Salvey Show. Check her out 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Another texter chimes in here. We got some callers too. Real quick. Pretty much the same thing that Judge Janet did in prejudging cases.
Nope.
Nope. And why?
Nope. To observe facts is not to prejudge a case. To observe the facts of the voting records of Wisconsinites and the disproportionality of the assembly and Senate control at a state governmental level is not prejudging. What she didn't say was, well, we've got these terrible voting records, and that's clearly unconstitutional. She did not apply the law to the facts.
She didn't go dot, dot, dot.
Correct. She stopped at the facts. She did not apply the law to the facts. She didn't reach a legal conclusion. They're completely different. Brad Brad Schimmel said, quote unquote, the 1849 law is fine and there is no constitutional right to reproductive freedoms under the state constitution. That, my friend, that to the texter is a legal conclusion. Judge Janet never got there.
Never got there. Thank you for that articulation. Maggie Dawn, Cindy from Appleton, you are up. Welcome on with Maggie Dawn. What do you got for us?
Well, I was talking about the ads that they should be running, the Democrats. They're not going to do that. She's not going to do that. And I don't understand why they don't do that kind of stuff. It makes no sense to me.
Being more aggressive, Cindy. I mean, I think there's organizations that will certainly do that. Do you want the judge and her campaign specifically to be that kind of attack dog? I guess that's the question. What do you think?
I don't. I just don't think it's appropriate for the judge's campaign under her campaign umbrella to do that. It needs to, that those attack ads that are very pointed should be coming from outside groups, in my opinion. I hate the fact that we have to be talking about outside groups and 501c4s. None of it's good for democracy. But I think Cindy's point writ large is taken well, right? Democrats need to get out there. They need to not hold their gun, keep their powder dry for too long. You got to get out there. You got to tell people how unqualified and unethical and what a partisan hack Schimmel is. It is Schimmel the shameful shill. Heard it here.
Schimmel, the shameful shill.
From the party of assault, battery, and corruption.
Yes!
That is Maggie Dodd. It is Overtime with Maggie Dodd, and we are wrapping it up. Maggie, thank you so much for joining me
the
on
time
the Tuesday.
Flies when we're punching.
All right, I got a quick one for you, though.
Yeah.
Had some drinks with some friends of mine the other day, and Annalise said, hey, you should go by the Dominic Salvia show instead of the Dom Salvia show. What do you think?
Ooh. Little buddy, I like Dom Salvia.
Oh, okay.
But when you're in deep, deep doo-doo, I'll call you Dominic.
Oh,
okay?
See, when you want to get yelled at. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Folks, stick around. More coming up, 855-752-4842. Your calls, your text on the Dom Salvia Show. Stick around. Back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Want to thank our pal Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. A little Overtime with Maggie Dawn. Always, always. Love it goes way too fast, Maggie. You can check her out 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. She will light it up. Love listening to Maggie. Heard some Maggie on the way in today. Gets me fired up.
Always.
Thank you, Maggie Dawn. And folks, stick around. Big show today. Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We love that organization. And they filed a complaint against Judge Brad Schimmel for his begging of the money and the buying of the knee pads.
Yeah, apparently he's not supposed to do that.
Not supposed to do that. We're going to talk with Nick about that, why that, and perhaps maybe what his thoughts are on some of these other issues that have been swirling around the judge who wants to be your Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Don't let it happen. And to Maggie's point, I mean, I totally agree with her. If there was an ethical, smart, whip smart, you know, on point, hardcore conservative, but understood the role, much rather have that than this guy who just kind of shoots from the hip and sometimes those bullets fly and he's not very smart sometimes. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get deeper on that with Nick as well. Of course, your calls, welcome, and text 855-752-4842. As we wrapped up the show yesterday, I was wondering, where can I get myself? What is a special government employee, and where can I get one? I want one.
You just want your own.
I want
pocket.
My own. I just want my own my pocket to do things for me, I want my own special government employee. Of course, now the word as of yesterday, the Trump administration, they have proclaimed Elon Musk is a special government employee. What does that mean, and
what
how
does
do I
that
get
mean?
One? Well,
yeah.
I'm glad you asked. Washington Post has a little bit on here, and I'll share it with you. Then we'll get to the lines, 855-752-4842. A special government employee is anyone who works or is expected to work for the government for 130 days or less in a 365-day period, with or without compensation, according to the Justice Department. Well, is it really work if you're not getting compensated? It seems like volunteering. It's not clear how long Musk's mission as head of the Department of Government Efficiency is expected to last. Now, the classification means Musk is not a volunteer. Oh, see, answered my own question. He's not a volunteer, but is considered less than a full-time employee. It also means he's exempt from some of the rules.
Uncomfy.
Including around financial disclosures and conflicts of interest that apply to full-time government employees.
I mean, that doesn't sound great.
That seems like, you know, that could be better.
Indeed. So he's not, he is considered an employee of the government.
I guess. But a less than full-time employee.
Less than full-time employee. Yes. And he's not subject to the same rules, regulations, guidelines, scaffolding, things that are meant to keep those government employees, you know, following a coherent code of ethics.
Some of those rules, apparently, that is correct, Jess. That's exactly it.
Yeah, just making sure I understand that.
That's the concern. And Democratic lawmakers and some Republicans have expressed concern about Musk's expansive mandate given that he'd never been elected.
Right.
Or vetted. Indeed. Or approved or background checked or or dot, dot, dot.
Very rich.
I mean, he did such a great job at Twitter.
He did such a job.
A job was done. The Washington Post goes on to say that special government employees, or SGEs, are subject to most rules, although sometimes in a less restrictive way. For example, SGEs who are paid at or below the level of federal employees with senior executive service status are not required to file a public financial disclosure report. Instead, they can file a report confidentially if they are expected to, quote, have a substantial role in the formulation of agency policy, according to the U.S. Office of Government Ethics.
So that's something that doesn't have to be made public,
mm-hmm.
that can stay internal.
Mm-hmm. If it were even to be done. And how would we even know that would be the case? And does anyone even really work over at the U.S. Office of Government Ethics?
These days?
Crickets, yo. Yeah. Crickets. Let's see. I think that's pretty much, you kind of get the gist. The White House did not immediately respond to requests for comment from the Post about Musk's private sector work and its potential impact on his role with the government. Of course, he has billions of dollars in contracts. So there you go. A special government employee. Apparently not a novel designation, but, you know, it can blur the lines between the public and private sector. And given this circumstance, he can apparently avoid some, you know, pesky disclosure rules. We don't need that for the richest man in the world deciding who's going to get U.S. aid. Come on. May as well put an anti-vaxxer in charge of HHS or someone you're concerned about their ability to maintain secrets in charge of our intelligence services. I don't, you know, it all kind of seems to flow right together. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let's get to some of our patient callers. Cam from Appleton, my old stomping grounds. Hey, Cam,
one
welcome. What do you got?
Hey, so I'm glad that this is what you're opening up with today because I did some work yesterday.
All right.
One of the Doge employees, Ethan Shoutron, he had a GitHub profile. Now, GitHub is a code repository or storage/sharing service on the internet that people can use. Anyone can make an account on there. He had one on there, and it's still there. It's just like he privated everything. However, if you use Internet Wayback Machine or Internet Archive, you can go back and you can see that it is indeed his, because it shows all the stuff before he privated it.
Okay.
And one of the projects that he worked on was something called Ballot Proof. And Ballot Proof is a program that would break down ballots using AI, break down ballots into subsections, and would be able to identify certain parts of them to remove them from the pool. And if you go into the test folder, there's a program called generate.py, which is a Python script, which will generate brand new randomized ballots. And there is also over, I think, 70 screenshots of ballots that are in there that are from, some of them are from Maricopa County, Arizona, which is one of the trouble.
And this is in this guy that works for Musk and his private server is what basically what you're telling me.
Not in his private server, in his private account on Git.
Gotcha.
And
thank you for that.
100% his account.
Okay, and so what do you glean from that, Cam? I mean, I know you're not a fan of the last election. You think there's concerns, but what does this tell you? What's your interpretation? What's your takeaway?
Well, we've already been looking at the data for Maricopa County specifically in Arizona because that one had like the strongest abnormalities within it for the counts. And I mean, why does he need some young teenager working for him, or a young adult working for him, if that's their background is ballot manipulation and generation? Like that's what his biggest project that he worked on was, that was on his Git profile, his public profile. And then he ended up getting a massive grant from OpenAI.
Interesting. Cam, doing all the legwork for us. Oh, when you say ballot generation, what do you mean by that? Like physically creating a ballot for Maricopa County that you could, print out? What do you mean by that?
Okay, so that's a good question. The way that I understand these systems to work, because I can't 100% say unless I'm like in front of the actual machine.
Sure.
But I was under the impression that these machines end up taking a screenshot for record keeping purposes. Like they like scan the image of the ballot. Now, the program that he worked on with, I think, three other people. Those are not Musk employees, as far as I can tell. But the program was able to identify, it would go through and try to help speed up ballot counting.
Okay.
That was the theory behind it. But they have that generate.py in there that will create brand new ballots that they could easily go in and say, let's say, I'm not even kidding here. Like I am a programmer by trade. Like that's my job.
Yeah.
I could easily take that and go, okay, so let's reverse it. Have it read the ballots. Any of them that say Harris, swap that part for Trump.
I still don't know how that's going to happen on the local level when you feed that into the machine. I mean, how are you getting into that? Where is the breakpoint?
I think it's in between the voting machine and the tabulator.
All right, man. Keep on it, Cam. Would have got away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling kids like Cam.
Well, be a meddling kid, Cam.
That's Scooby-Doo, if you didn't know.
Okay, that one I knew, Dom.
Kids these days. You haven't seen Jaws yet? You gotta see Jaws.
Apparently, it doesn't count that I've seen a lot of GIFs of it.
No, it does not count. It still stands up. I'm telling you, it's still a good movie. Oh, so good. The beginning scene is just amazing. Even now, even today, I mean, an old callous guy this time, these ages, it still holds up. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Mark from the SAC, you're next. Welcome. What do you got?
Yeah, thanks so much, Dom. I see where the D.C. prosecutor is going to go after the people that revealed Musk's little bro troll's names that say, well, governmental employees need protection. Well, as far as I know, those little guys are not governmental employees. They're Musk's employees.
Mm-hmm.
So why should they have any protections at all? Because they're revealing the information of the actual governmental employees. And when I was in government service for the state of Wisconsin, taxpayers could go out and check out my name and check out my salary. So unless you're engaged in undercover work and have, you know, that it's required if you have security coverage, why should these little SOBs have any protection like that at all? I mean, because they're gathering this information up and probably be using it for all kinds of little
No, it's a great question. Of course, that should be public. As far as I'm concerned, you're a government employee, unless, as you mentioned, unless you're in some covert stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Oh well, if we're paying the bill, we get to know that. But here's the ironic thing about that, and it's on the other side now. As the Hill is reporting, the Treasury Department was sued by a coalition of groups over the Department of Government Efficiency officials receiving access to the federal payment system for the federal government. Now, the suit was filed by the Public Citizen Litigation Group, State Democracy Defenders Fund, Alliance for Retired Americans, and the American Federation of Government Employees and the Service Employees International Union. The group's alleged department shared confidential data with Doge, which was run by tech billionaire Elon Musk. The press release said the Department of Treasury maintains the sensitive personnel and financial information of millions of Americans, and federal laws protect such data from improper disclosure and misuse, including by barring disclosure to individuals who lack a lawful and legitimate need for it. Now, these are, you know, so there's part of it. There's part of it, right? Now, Musk and his allies reportedly were given access to the department's federal payment system over the weekend. Lots of folks obviously protesting this. The Treasury Department controls $6 trillion annually and distributes the funds to various programs like Social Security and Medicare. But it even goes beyond that. Apparently now there's a list of about 5,000 FBI employees that was given to the Department of Justice. Because, you know, they're very concerned about anyone who may have done anything to work on touch anything to do with what J6 or Donald Trump, all those kinds of things. Well, I think there's lawsuits being filed for that as well to try and protect that information. You know, what's going to happen if the Proud Boys? Oh, can we use that name anymore?
We can't.
Oh yeah,
well, I mean, we can't. We just can't. Not to refer to that.
Yeah, we'll tell you about the Proud Boys losing their trademark. I've got to come up with a new name, folks. Come back with us. Lots more. Plus, Nick Ramos, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, coming up. Top of the hour. Come back with us, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can join the conversation talking about releasing names in different circumstances if you work for the government or, you know, work for Doge, which is the government, I guess. What should be released if you work for the FBI. So a little bit more on the background, as Mark brought up, Forbes reporting Doge employees identified on X. Was a doxing or case of free speech? The name of six employees of the newly formed Department of Government Efficiency on Sunday were posted to X. Elon Musk, who of course owns X and is heading up Doge, quickly responded, "You have committed a crime." So six of his cats that are working for Doge, are their names were put out on X, and according to Musk, they've committed the crime. It's a crime. Now, for the record, Wired also revealed the names of the six engineers, who are described as being in their teens and early 20s. There has since been a wave of criticism that individuals with no high-level experience in the public sector were given access to the Department of the Treasury's payment system to carry out their duties. Mm-hmm. Whatever those duties may have been. And why do you need access to the payment system to carry out any sort of duties? I mean, if you're going to think about, well, we need to cut costs here, cut costs there. Number one, there is a law from, 1974 that says you can't do that. Once Congress has allocated funds for X, Y, or Z, you can't withhold them.
Right. This is not how the budgetary process works. Right. There is actually an established procedure with steps that you follow in order.
You know, if you want to be inefficient, there is a procedure. On Monday, Musk appeared less concerned by the public revealing and wrote on the X, "Time to confess, media reports saying that Doge has some of the world's best software engineers are in fact true. Yet the individual's qualifications, three of whom don't have degrees, continue to be the subject of debate online." And we talked to our pal Cam from Appleton, Miles Donald Grounds, one of them, in that regard. Now then, compare this to another issue here as being reported by CNN, the headline over there. FBI turns over details of 5,000 employees who worked on January 6 cases to Trump's Justice Department as agents sue. 5,000 FBI officials have complied with demands to provide the Justice Department with the details of thousands of employees who worked to investigate the January 6th U.S. Capitol riot. Demand has caused consternation among FBI employees who fear it is meant to amass a list of personnel for possible termination. Yeah, you think?
Yeah, wonder why they're having that thought.
Acting Deputy Attorney General Emile Beauvais said in a Friday memo with the subject line, "Terminations!" He had given FBI officials a noon deadline Tuesday, today, to submit the details of thousands of agents and analysts. He previously ordered the firing of 8 senior FBI officials, including those who oversaw cyber, national security, and criminal investigations. More than 5,000 employee details were submitted, including employee ID numbers, job titles, and the role in the January 6 investigations, but not their names. Not their names. Their employee ID number, job titles, and the role in the January 6th investigation.
But not their names.
There are more than 13,000 agents and 38,000 total FBI employees. Meanwhile, officials dispatched by Musk have been seen at FBI headquarters. man. Several FBI employees on Tuesday sued the Justice Department, accusing it of violating the Constitution and privacy laws by demanding that agents complete a survey allegedly designed to purge bureau personnel. The agents want a federal judge to block the Trump administration from publishing. Jeez.
Easy for you to say.
Or releasing the surveys or any information included in their answers. A quote from the lawsuit. "The very act of compiling lists of persons who worked on matters that upset Donald Trump is retaliatory in nature, intended to intimidate FBI agents and other personnel and to discourage them from reporting any future malfeasance and by Donald Trump and his agents," the lawsuit alleges. And I heard today, and we're not going to play it because I heard it. You don't want to hear it. Donald Trump, I mean, Donald Trump being Donald Trump. One of the asinine things he talked about today was putting violent U.S. citizen criminals to jail in other countries.
Indeed.
That's not okay. But he's we got really bad people. He points out.
Wait. Donald Trump complaining about bad people in our country and we should send them to another country.
Oh, they send us, they're
is
crazy.
This, is this not exactly what he's saying that other countries are doing to us?
That is a great point. That's exactly what he's saying other countries are doing to us.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah. They send us their criminals. They send us their... and all that. But what bothered me specifically about many things, Gazans don't want to be there because there's nothing but a rubble now. They want to move. They have somewhere to go. He said that. Oh, yeah. And if Iran attempts or assassinates Donald Trump, they're to be totally obliterated. We'll get to that in the next hour. Just some of the things Donald Trump has said today in front of the press. And what the press failed to do when Donald Trump was lamenting the violence of these terrible, let alone the migrant criminals, these American criminals who are just terrible, terrible people. And some are. You go push someone in front of a subway, that's a pretty terrible deed. And he was talking about, this guy was in jail 40 times, this one's in jail 20 times, in and out of jail 17 times, so on and so forth. I'm thinking to myself, as the whole time I'm hearing this, I did not hear any of the journalists say, well, you know, some of the people you just released had records. You know, they have records. The January 6th rioters, you just pardoned all of them. And some of them had criminal records, and some of them had additional felony criminal records for beating police. Mr. President, how is your complaint about these other folks different than the ones that you just pardoned? I'd love to hear that answer. I'd love to hear that question. Come on, journalists. Come back with us. Nick Ramos, executive director from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, filing an ethics complaint against Brad Schimmel.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.